well, how do we keep from raising this type of child? Well, I think it's interesting. Sometimes I have a clock in my office that I can't figure out how the battery's changed, so it doesn't work. But, you know, it scares me because twice a day it's right. And I look up and it's the right time, and I forget that even a broken clock is right twice a day, right? Well, did you know that sometimes the lost people come up with truth? And I want to read to you. This is amazing. Harvard University did a parenting study, and they spent 4 years on it, and they came up with 4 ways to have better families. And I thought, first I thought, oh yeah, what? Put in Sega or something, you know? I mean, what do you say, Harvard? You know what they said? Number one, a father's discipline that is firm, fair, and consistent. They said, in their 4-year study of patterns in families, if the father corrected the children and not just the mother, and if he was a good father, it was firm and fair and consistent, those children had a vastly higher probability of turning out. Hey, that's what the Bible says, right? The broken clock was right. You know, Harvard is a broken clock. It started out as a Christian institution and abandoned, apostatized. Secondly, it said if they're supervised by their mother instead of by another person. Now, in our culture, in fact, one of my friends I'm cultivating and working with right now, he is the manager of this place that I buy a cup of coffee a couple times a week. His wife is the manager of some store in the mall. I got to know him, and the wife was cruising through. I says, hi. I says, and she was carrying this sweet little child. I says, wow. I says, is that yours? Yeah, but we've got to get rid of him because I'm late to work. She says, where's your mother? I says, wow. And I knew this guy works early in the morning till 3 in the afternoon, and she works. And I said, do you ever see your children? He said, no, my mom takes care of them. Now, that's great. That's better than a daycare center. But a mother's supervision, a mother must know where her children are, what they're doing at all times, and be with them as much as possible. That's Harvard University. The broken clock was right again. The Bible says that women are to be keepers at home and loving their husbands and their children. While they're at home, they should be there. Thirdly, the father and mother's affection. They found that children need to see love demonstrated between a father and mother and have it physically demonstrated to them. In other words, children need to have more than hearing it. They need to feel that love. And Harvard University said that. You know what God says? That someone that loves their children, that someone that nurtures their children is being like the Heavenly Father who nurtures and cherishes us as His beloved and as His children, because He is our perfect Father. The last thing Harvard said was the family's cohesiveness. It said that the critical feature for families that succeed by whatever their measures of success is, that they're cohesive, they spend time together. Well, I agree with all of them. Father should discipline, mother should supervise, father and mother should be affectionate, and the family should be cohesive, but that's not happening. And I think of the study that Stanford University came out with, and it says that when it comes to rearing children, every society is only 20 years away from barbarism. Hey, that's what's happening right now. Columbine. All across the country. Barbaric acts. 20 years is all we have to accomplish the task of civilizing infants who are born into our midst each year. These savages know nothing of our language. They do not know our culture, our religion, our values, our customs, our interpersonal relationships. The infant is totally ignorant about all the isms of the world. But that barbarian must be tamed if civilization is to survive. And guess who God asked to do that? Godly fathers and mothers. Well, let's get down to the bottom line and turn back to Deuteronomy 6 with me, please. And this is where we're going to conclude tonight. And I would encourage you, even draw a couple arrows in your Bibles. Be active. Be engaged in this, because if you hear it and see it and do something, it might stick more. And who knows? You might be able to be an influence on someone. Someday the Lord might use this. And I mean, even when I hear things that don't directly relate to my life, if it's from God's Word, I know it's valuable to be shared. But there's no denying it that parents must deal with their children's lives. And the lesson that the Bible teaches, starting in Deuteronomy 6 tonight, is that the key for a godly dad is that he first, and this is lesson one for tonight, must emphasize biblical communication. Now, let me explain what I mean by that, okay? I'm going to read Deuteronomy 6, verses 7 through 9. This is what it says. You shall teach them diligently, this is talking about the Word of God, to your children. So there's teach diligently. And second phrase, talk of them. So it's second underlining of communication. When you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up. Verse 8, you shall bind them as a sign on your hand. They shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorpost of your house. You notice every means of communication is being used. Audio visuals, written communication, oral communication, even body language. It's the whole thing he talks about. He says, communicate. Now, this would be a paraphrase. Okay, I'll paraphrase those two verses. What he's saying is, we need to say with our mouths God's word. Did you know that's a rare thought? Think of this. Notice that this practice is an imperative. You shall teach. It doesn't say if you'd like to, if you have time, if you get around to it, if you ever think you're a great enough spiritual leader to it. It just says, say it. Whether you feel like it or not, whether you feel qualified or not, it's an imperative. You shall teach them. It's an imperative. Secondly, notice that the process is so simple. Talk. It doesn't say preach. It doesn't say scold. It doesn't say cajole. It doesn't say hammer. It says talk. Now, that brings up another matter. How many families talk? You know, I visit enough people. A lot of people have the television on all the time. You know, we have a little rule in our house. One person can't talk when another person's talking. And if you're going to talk, we're going to turn the radio or the television off. I mean, even in the car. We don't talk with something else going. Because I don't want to teach them to keep raising their voice louder while it gets louder around them. And then they just talk louder, louder, louder. What you're saying is so valuable. I want to hear it. And so you wait just a minute while little sister talks. And you wait just a minute while little brother talks. And now it's mom and daddy's turn to talk. And you listen. And see, what he says is, you have to talk. You have to talk. It must be natural. It must be a part of daily life. And you just learn to talk about it. It should be natural and unforced. It should flow into every part of life. And the key is that if as a godly father, you can see God in every part of your life, then you point Him out. I mean, there's so many great illustrations in our world. So many great ones. And a godly emphasis on communication when a dad is growing into the dad that God intended us to be. It's a man who points out God and talks about Him during the day. Well, what happens if God stays at church? Or if God is only there when you prepare a lecture and say, all right, sit down, I'm going to tell you, you know, read you the Riot Act. Then what children do is they learn to compartmentalize their life. And, you know, that's one of the tragedies of American Christendom. People have kept God over here. They keep Him at 8720 East 61st Street. And so when they're on their way over there, they've got the Bible out, and they get in the car, and they act a certain way, and then they leave 8720. By the way, that's the address for right here. Some of you don't even realize that. And they get back in the car, and life goes back to what it was. You ever think about that? What that does to children when they see parents that compartmentalize their life, when only when they're at that place do they act that way, and they're totally different than they are at home and at work and on the road, and they learn to put their Christianity up there. And parents wonder why when they go off to college they live like they live. It's they learn that at home, that you act that way at church. You don't act that way in the world or on vacation or whatever. Well, we need to listen. One old saint says this, there's no difference between the sacred and the secular. I think that's what Moses was saying. He says, let God flow into all of your life. Don't compartmentalize your life. Make it all sacred.